Please be seated. The gift of joy, hymn number 12. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love.
Looking at the top right corner of the page of hymn number 12, one can see the name Ludwig von Beethoven, along with other information about the music of this hymn. Now, this wonderful melody is adapted from Beethoven's colossal Ninth Symphony for voices and orchestra, where it appears at a very climactic point. Especially remarkable is that the composer, at the time he finished the symphony, was stone deaf, completely deaf. The hymn version adopts words by Henry van Dyke. The words exude great joy, with many references to the wonders of nature.
Singing together, now hymn number 12, Joyful, Joyful, in Joyful Quick Tempo.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, heavy as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with
The Gift of Peace, hymn number 237, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, Towering O'er the Wrecks of Time.
The music of this hymn has a most interesting story of discouragement and recovery in ministry. It seems that one stormy Sunday, the organist choir director who composed it had only one of the expected choir members show up. Well, this was a moment of disappointment, maybe even disgust. And the story seems to go that he left the service at the beginning, didn't even play the entire service, was really kind of fed up with the situation. But later that day, having recovered, having stabilized, he thought of a very poor tune that was allied with this particular text. And he wrote a new one, which we have, and he named it Rathbun. If you look at the top right corner, you can see the name Rathbun after that choir member who had shown up. So, he said, the inspiration that came to me at that moment was a vivid contrast to my feelings at the morning service.
Joining now voices and souls together as we sing hymn number 237, In the Cross of Christ I Glory.
Glory, towering o'er
The Gift of Long Suffering, hymn number 441. I saw one weary, sad, and torn, with eager steps press on the way.
The text of this hymn appeared when the author, Annie Smith, was only in her 20s. So it is a young person's, from my perspective, a young person's text. She was a sister of Uriah Smith. In her hymn text, she apparently intended the first stanza to refer to Sea Captain Joseph Bates, the second stanza to refer to James White, and it's not clear what she intended in the third stanza. According to her mother, and the saying goes, mother knows best, it referred to Annie, but she still used the masculine pronoun, although speculatively it may refer to John Nevins Andrews. And all in all, long-suffering, though the word never occurs in the SDA hymnal, it doesn't appear anywhere, but I think it's poignantly present in this particular hymn.
Please stand together now, singing with much energy, hymn 441.
Please be seated. The Gift of Gentleness, hymn number 316, live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings.
Gentleness. The word gentle appears only once in this hymn text, but the hymn is also rich in many elements that contribute to gentleness. Its author, Francis Ridley Havergal, was a precocious writer of simple rhymes at age 7. Her mother died when she was 11, and she suffered melancholy thoughts, guilt feelings after the death of her mother. However, at age 14, however, she committed her soul to Christ, and in her words, heaven and earth seemed brighter from that moment. Perhaps she felt just a piece of the Shekinah glory to which she refers in this wonderful hymn.
We sing now together hymn number 316, reflecting on the gift of gentleness.
The gift of goodness. Words of hymn number 80. O world of God, so vast and strange, profound and wonderful and fair, beyond the utmost reach of thought, but not beyond the Father's care.
Please look at hymn number 80. We're going to do some mixing and matching here this morning. The melody of this hymn, while wonderful and well worth learning, presents a steep learning curve, and we're on a kind of a quick roll here today. So we're going to use the words of hymn 80 to sing with two highly familiar other hymn melodies. Using words from hymn 80, sing its first two stanzas to the doxology. Praise God from whom would be the normal words. Substitute the words from number 80. And then the organ will transition toward the end, after stanza 2 of number 80, to transition us to singing the last stanza of 80 with the melody of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. This is an experiment. Give it your best.
We sing now together the words of hymn number 80 matched to two different hymn melodies.
Thank you.
The Gift of Faith, stanzas 1, 2, and 4 of hymn number 602. O brother, be faithful, soon Jesus will come, for whom we have waited so long.
This hymn's author, Uriah Smith, was of course a follower of William Miller in his youth. He became editor of the Review, became General Conference Secretary, wrote Thoughts on Daniel and the Revelation. Today, we seek to broaden or clarify the scope of his hymn as follows. You may notice the repeated use of the word brother. I like to use, on occasion, sister and Christian. Here's how it will work. Stanza one, ladies, ladies only, would you sing to the men, O brother, be faithful? Stanza two, men only, sing to the ladies, sister, be faithful. And then the final stanza, shall we all sing, Christian, O Christian, be faithful.
A song in joining us to have faith, amen. Hymn number 602, singing together, please stand.
Oh,
everyone.
O Christian, be faithful, eternity's years shall tell for thy faithfulness now. When bright smiles of gladness shall scatter thy tears, a scornful gleam on thy brow. O Christian, be faithful, the promise is sure that waits for the faithful and tried to reign with the ransomed, immortal and pure, and ever with Jesus abide.
Amen. Amen. The gift of meekness. Please be seated. The gift of meekness. Stanzas 3 and 4 of hymn number 135. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie.
This hymn alludes to Luke 2, verses 13 and 14, which one can see in the top left-hand corner of the page. Now, the story behind this: author Phillips Brooks visited the Holy Land. On December 24, he went to a spot where tradition said the angel appeared to the shepherds. From 10 p.m. until 3 a.m. Christmas morning, he attended a worship service in Bethlehem's Church of the Nativity. And this formed deep impressions which didn't immediately come to fruit in the writing of the hymn in a formal way. But several years later, the hymn came in 5 stanzas. We have 4 of them, of which today we sing only the last 2 stanzas. The mystery of Jesus' incarnation. We sing of it now.
Now 2 stanzas of this beloved Christmas carol, number 135.
The gift of self-control, words of hymn number 642. We praise thee with our minds, O Lord, kept sharp to think thy thought.
This hymn is by a very recent author, Hugh McElrath. In fact, I met his brother just a few years ago, who passed away, I believe, only 4 years ago. He wrote the original version of this hymn in a single afternoon. He said, "Being a teacher charged with the task of challenging minds, I was imbued with the idea of praising God with the mind as well as every other part of one's being." His hymn, number 642, is a balanced presentation of full-orbed personal temperance or self-control. Once again, we have a substitution of another tune. Singing the words of number 642, we substitute the melody of O for a Thousand Tongues. For those who may be curious how this works, a little 15-second vignette here. Checking different tunes in the metrical index in the back, you can find a tune for substitute a familiar tune for an unfamiliar one by finding meters that match. Okay, 15 seconds is over. Please note that we need to sing through the melody twice for each stanza of text. So you're reading from 642, singing the melody of O for a Thousand Tongues.
The fruit of the Spirit, words of hymn number 414. Fruitful tree, the Spirit sowing, may we ripen and increase.
It may be that this is the only hymn we've shared today, with regard to which its author very consciously drew the text from Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit, all nine manifestations, all included in this hymn, explicitly. Its author was Timothy Dudley Smith, English Anglican pastor, who, to the best of my knowledge, is still living. Once again, we match a text with a different tune, this time going full circle, back to the service's beginning, and the melody that was sung to Love Divine. Now we're using it with the words of this hymn, singing the words of number 414 with the melody of Love Divine.
We close chapel today with the words of hymn number 414. To the melody with which this hymn service begin, please stand as we sing and remain standing for the benediction.
Spirit sowing, may we ripen our
May we go with the love of Christ, be filled with his joy. Let his peace reign in our hearts. As he long suffers with us, he will gently guide us and fill us with his goodness. In our faith, he will uphold us. With meekness, he will control the self in us and bring us to a place of rest. Amen. You may go.